Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 7, we're continuing in our study, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, and also the last chapter, chapter 31. He says, "My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you speak to the people today. Lord, I believe as we read your word that if some particular listener has some particular issue that they're struggling with, maybe it's financial, maybe it's emotional, maybe they've gotten into some trouble. I don't know. Whatever the issues are, Lord. And Lord, I have issues. The people have issues. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the answer for the problems of the world today. And furthermore, I believe that the Word of God will strengthen us. It will tell us what direction we should go. It will comfort us. I believe that your Spirit, as we study and read your word and believe it and apply it to our lives, I believe that it has an effect. So, Lord, as we preach the word of God today, speak to the people, minister to the people, lead the people, comfort the people. Lord, let your Spirit help them. And Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. But he says here in Proverbs chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, he says, "My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee." We know that we should keep or honor or obey the word of God. We understand that. But he says, "Lay up my commandments with thee." Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, if you lay up your treasure in heaven, you store your treasure in heaven, then your heart is going to follow your treasure. And your heart will be in heaven. Your heart will be on the things of heaven. Your heart will be in such a fashion that you'll want to follow and obey God. But if you take your treasure and stick it in the ground or put it underneath the mattress or put your treasure in the bank or whatever. In other words, not in heaven. If you store your treasure here, then your heart is going to be down here. And also there's a possibility that your treasure will rot or be stolen or crumble or what have you. But he says, "Lay up my commandments with thee." So we're supposed to lay our treasure in heaven, but we're supposed to lay up God's commandments with us. He said in another place, "I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." He says, "Keep my commandments and live." And we understand that the word of God and the gospel message will give us life. If we trust in the Lord with our whole heart, then we can have eternal life. And we certainly should keep his commandments, and we'll have life. And my law, as the apple of thine eye. In another place he says that Israel is the apple of God's eye. But he's saying that God's law should be the apple of our eyes. He says in verse 3, "Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. And I don't remember the exact term, but some of the ultra-Orthodox Jews, maybe the Pharisees, I don't know exactly, they would take a little scroll, just an inch or 2 inches of worth of paper, and they would write various verses from the law of Moses, maybe from the book of Deuteronomy or something, in little bitty print, and they would put it in a little bitty box, and they would roll it up, and then they would put it in, like I said, on a box, and they would take essentially some sort of lace or string, and then they would tie it to their fingers. And you may have seen pictures of this, and there's a specific term, I don't remember what it is. But they would also take this little box, and another place it says that you're supposed to take the Word of God and keep it on your forehead. And then they would take this little box, just like they would tie it on their fingers, they would also tie it on their forehead. And I think that they've missed the point there, because that's a physical thing, and we know that works cannot please God. But he's speaking metaphorically here. But then it says to write them upon the table of thine heart. And certainly the Jews didn't do that. They didn't take a physical thing and try to write it on their own heart. But what he's saying here is that we should allow the Lord and his word to have an effect in our life, that we should keep the word of God close to us and his commandments close to us, and that as we honor the word of God, as we take the word of God and give it a place of honor in our lives, that he will lead us, he will direct us, he will take care of us, he will provide for us. He will show us what to do and what not to do. But we have the responsibility of making God's word mean something in our lives. We have the responsibility of being diligent to study it and allowing it to direct our lives. He said in verse 4, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman," or your aunt, or something. He started off the book of Proverbs talking about wisdom and understanding, that we should do everything that we can to try and get understanding, to try and get wisdom, to try and get knowledge. Because it would lead us, it would protect us, it would guide us, it would feed us. And of course, we understand that there's only one way to heaven. Obviously, that's through Jesus Christ. And we get to know him through his word. And the word of God, he said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus said that in John chapter 6, verse 63. But it says here, let me start this again in verse 4. "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman." Verse 5, "that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." And all through these first few chapters of Proverbs, it makes this comparison between a godly woman and an ungodly woman. He said that wisdom was compared to a godly woman, perhaps a woman that you were trying to date or hoping to marry. In this case, it talks about call wisdom or compare wisdom or treat wisdom as your sister and your aunt. Obviously, your sister and your aunt and your mother, perhaps, these are people that you would respect and honor, and you would act yourself in a godly fashion around these people. But then he says foolishness is compared to an ungodly woman, or a woman of loose morals, or something like that. And we understand the difference between wisdom and foolishness. We understand the difference between some woman or girl that is honorable and some woman or girl that is not honorable. But in verse 6, and just about to the end of the chapter, he gives an example of something that he had seen. But he says, for at the window of my house, I looked through the casement or through the windowsill, and I beheld among the simple ones and discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. He just didn't understand. He didn't know the word of God. He didn't know how to act. He didn't know how to be a young man in the world. Verse 8, he says, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Now we should keep in God's way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to go to heaven, you need to go by him. But he said that this young man went by her house and passed by her corner. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, or whore, or prostitute, or whatever, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Now, if you're lying in wait for someone, it means you're hiding in the bushes or whatever, waiting for someone to come by, so that you can rob them or kill them or whatever. And we know that various animals, such as a lion, he will lie in wait, or a wolf will lie in wait, waiting for a sheep or something to come by so that he can go ahead and kill that animal and eat it. We understand what lying in wait means. Verse 13, so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, now notice what she said. I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Now that's interesting. This woman is lying in wait for whatever man she can find, obviously to have sex and to get perhaps gifts or something. But she is saying, look, I've been to church this week. I went to church on Sunday. I went to Sunday school. I paid my tithe. Notice this. This is strange to me. Verse 15, therefore I came forth to meet thee, and diligently to seek thy face, and have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry. And if there was any doubt what he's talking about, it talks about sexuality. He said, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, and with fine linen of Egypt. Very expensive bedroom. And have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Those are important spices. We know that myrrh was one of the ones that the three wise men brought to give as a gift to Christ when he was born. Verse 18, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, or with sex, pleasure. Notice verse 19, for the goodman is not at home. He is on a long journey. Now this could be the woman's husband. It could be her father. It could be her uncle or grandpa or someone that is appointed to watch over her. Someone that's supposed to protect her. Someone that's supposed to keep her honorable. But she says, for the goodman is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Well, he's not going to be home for 2 weeks, man. We got plenty of time. Nobody's going to know. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Forced. Now we think of forced sex in terms of rape, but this word says that with her speech and with flattery from her lips, saying the right thing, she caused him to yield. And really, he didn't really want to go in there, but her speech forced him to do so. In another place, it says that the woman would take the man by winking her eyes. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. An ox to the slaughter. Now, sex is a wonderful thing. I have no qualms saying that sex is a very pleasurable thing. But if you go looking for it in the wrong place, you go to it like an ox goes to the slaughter. And we know what happens, we know what slaughter means. We know that it's killed and butchered. Verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, and as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Sexuality is very important, it's very pleasurable, but he's saying that you need to be careful. Sex is from God. Sex is a wonderful thing. It is from the Lord. But he says if you want sex, you should get married. Paul talked about that. Paul talked about fornication. Paul talked about, look, you know, maybe you just don't need to go ahead and get married so that the desires that you have, you can go ahead and express them. We should not just go to anyone. We shouldn't just have casual sex or free love. That was the term in the 70s. Again, sex is a wonderful, glorious thing. It's from the Lord, but it's intended to be in marriage. But it says, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not it is for his life. Verse 24, hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Hey, listen up, he's saying. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Now that's interesting. We should incline our heart to the Lord. But he's saying don't decline your heart to the ways of the devil. One looks up to the Lord, the other looks down to hell. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, and many strong men have been slain by her. It's just sex. Yes, I know. It's just sex. But you can lose your soul because of just sex. You can lose your soul. And the devil sends these women. And I want to say that I don't mean to pick on women, and I don't believe that God intends to just pick on women. There are many godly women that the sly man would come along and cause her to yield as well. I believe that it cuts both ways. But verse 27, the last verse in this chapter, it says, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. He has this message, this same exact message again and again and again, chapter after chapter after chapter, in these first few chapters of Proverbs. He's saying it again and again and again. We should listen again and again and again. Now, there is the physical truth that we should keep sexuality in marriage, and that if we go outside of marriage, we run the risk of losing everything we have. We run the risk of losing our marriage, losing our kids, going through divorce court. You don't know how this thing could go. And another place it says that if you go messing around where you shouldn't, that woman's husband may come looking for you with a gun. There's all sorts of things that you could run into. So there's the physical, earthly aspect that he's saying, don't go having sex where you're not supposed to have it. But there's also the comparison God is making that earthly sexuality, sexuality that's healthy, that's holy, that's with your wife, he's saying that that compares to God's wisdom, which is from heaven, and that we should do what we can to want wisdom, to search after understanding, to get into the Word of God and try to understand it. Maybe we need to go to Sunday school. Maybe we need to go and find some book that will help us to study the Word of God. Occasionally, they still do sell godly books at bookstores. And yes, I'm being sarcastic. Most of the things that they sell at Christian bookstores is fluff. There's a lot of self-help books that, you know, Jesus said we should forsake self. Paul said that we should forsake self, quit trying to improve self. But we should say about self, the Lord, not I, but Christ. We know that self is to be overcome, that self fights against God. Paul said, self is not your answer. Self will not help you. Quit trying to improve self. You should forsake self. You should nail self to the cross. But like I said, maybe there's some books still in some Christian bookstore somewhere, maybe in the back shelf, that will teach you about the Bible, that will teach you theology, that perhaps will talk about the book of Romans, or maybe the book of Deuteronomy or something, that will let you and help you to understand the Word of God. Because as we just read, that the Word of God is life to you. But then the other comparison, he said, that if wisdom is good and leads to God, then foolishness and rebellion leads to hell. And we need to understand that there's these, I guess, parallel messages through the book of Proverbs, that to choose wisdom over foolishness, to follow God instead of just following the devil. You know, somebody says, I don't worship the devil. I try to lead a good life. Well, leading a good life cannot bring you to heaven. You will end up in the same place, as the man said, the devil's hell, the lake of fire prepared for Satan and his angels. Fine. Adolf Hitler will be there. He was stridently against God. Maybe Jeffrey Dahmer will be down there. But you, if you say, well, I just want to lead a good life. I don't kill anybody. I try to be honest. I don't steal. I try to reasonably be a good person, maybe a sort of a good Christian. But I don't have to be born again. I don't have to go and be one of those Jesus freaks. Well, lead your good life and you'll end up in the same place as Hitler and Dahmer. Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born again. That is the message of the Word of God, that we should look to God, we should trust God, we should live for God, and to do otherwise leads to hell. Now, that's not a popular message, I understand that, but that is the message of the Bible. And I understand that there's a lot of things that we have to do. I understand we have jobs and families. I understand that maybe we have investments. Or I understand that, man, Katrina took my house and I'm trying to rebuild my house. Or whatever. I understand we have all these things we have to worry about. Maybe life is too complicated these days. I understand that. But you need to keep the Lord first in your life. As you're trying to put sheetrock back on studs that you just finished cleaning with the Clorox in the house that you had to redo after Katrina, as you're doing that, you can say, well, Lord, you know, how can I be a good Christian? Lord, please help me as I'm trying to get my house back in order. Lord, please show me what to do. Continually pray. Continually say, Lord, how can I serve you? Yeah, we have a busy life, but we also need to be about the Father's business. We need to keep the Lord first. He said, seek after wisdom, seek after understanding, seek after knowledge, because it will give you life. If you choose foolishness, you'll end up in hell. Maybe that's not a good message for today. Maybe you're scanning across the dial and you hear me talking about hell, and you say, man, what? I don't understand him. Don't we know better nowadays? Well, it's an old old message, but it's the same message that the Apostle Paul preached. You must be born again, Jesus said. And I don't apologize for preaching the cross. I don't apologize for preaching that we should deny self. I don't apologize for preaching this message. And again, I want to bring us back, and I want to close with this, that Paul said, Solomon said, Jesus said, Moses said, all of these different ministers said that we need to sin. Again, sexuality is a good thing, but sexuality is intended by God to be practiced in marriage. And we need to remember that. And to do otherwise, we can end up losing everything we have here on earth, and we might end up losing our soul and ending up in hell. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.